as you lift a voice in praise. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out, sir.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
So we have been looking at the theme for this year's convention, and we say it is Christ, my Passover, my sacrifice. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7. Let's read it again for the last time in this convention. Let's read it again. Everybody look to the screen and let's read one go. Therefore, purge out the old living, that you may be a new lamp, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Amen. I love that place that says, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So from Wednesday, we have laid the foundation that Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. Just as in the Old Testament, in the days of Israel in Egypt, when God wanted to redeem them and deliver them from the powers of Egypt, and that was the then known world was being controlled by Pharaoh. And when God wanted to bring them deliverance and to bring them redemption and to bring them out from slavery, the Bible says that God instructed them to look for a Passover lamb, which was a type, a shadow of the reality which is fulfilled in Christ, that he is our Passover lamb. We have explained how he became the Passover lamb, and we looked at the criteria of the Passover lamb and his own qualification, and we have come to understand that Jesus Christ is indeed our Passover lamb who was sacrificed for our salvation. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And so yesterday we started looking at the benefits of Christ's Passover sacrifice. The benefits of his sacrifice. Said Wona Yesu Ewu across Neso on a day like this. I have a Good Friday, you know. A soba in Fasoma yen. A nuntin as a yeshemu ha. Yeshemu say you be dear home. Then yeshemu say ye babe celebrating. Ye babe danase. Ye babe kai kai juma pa. O dear on a faithful day like this. Wave your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. And so the benefit, we said, number one is redemption and remission of sin. Redemption and remission of sin. That is the forgiveness of our sin. Just as a man who doesn't observe the Passover, the Bible tells us in Numbers 9, verse 30, that the sin of that man will still be on him because he did not observe the Passover. That means that if not for the Passover lamb of Jesus that was sacrificed for us, our sins will still be with us, and we would have paid the penalty of our sins, which is hell and destruction. But thank God for Good Friday, that because of his sacrifice, we are no longer sinners. Look into the face of somebody and say, you are no more a sinner. Number two, we said deliverance from oppression of any kind. Deliverance from oppression of any kind. We said through Passover, from the Old Testament, saw that through Passover, Pharaoh surrendered. He was stubborn all through the plagues, all through the punishment that God brought on Egypt. But when Passover lamb was sacrificed and the red cap of the blood was lifted, could not resist any longer. He had to dig in. He had to let God's people go and serve the Lord. And so we said that also Christ rescued us or delivered us and translated us. God translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Can I hear an amen? So we have been delivered. Tell somebody about you have been delivered. Tell somebody you have been rescued. Tell someone you have been saved. Tell someone you are not at the usual spot where you used to be. Tell him you are not who you used to be. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Clap your two hands together. So we have been delivered from sin, from sickness, from poverty. We looked at all these things. And then also number three, we said divine exemption. That Passover means to be exempted. To be exempted. Divine exemption. That when I see the blood, instead of requiring the life of your son, I would rather take the life of the animal and I will exempt your sons from dying. I will kill the firstborn sons of Egypt, but I will spare your own children. And so we explain that through the sacrifice of Jesus, we have received exemption. We all, Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, and the wages of sin is death, and there is none righteous, not even one. So you and I, we are as guilty as the Egyptians. Israel was as guilty as the Egyptians. They were murderers. Moses had to try to even separate them at different points. They were murderers. They were as sinful as the Egyptians. So God could not find a certain ground on which he would judge Egypt and spare them unless the Passover lamb, unless someone died in their place for them to be exempted. And so God does that substitutionary work and exchange his life for our life and send us so that we would die. And so I declare over everyone here, any evil on the way, towards your direction, you will be exempted from it. Or any evil that has been pronounced over your family, you are going to be exempted from it. Any evil pronounced over Africa and of Ghana, you will be exempted from it. Every affliction, every disease, every issue that is on the way approaching, that is about to hit the nation, I declare you shall be exempted from it. We have been exempted from hell and from judgment. Clap your two hands together for them. Number four, divine favor. Divine favor. We also said that by the Passover sacrifice that happened on that same day, Bible says that when they were being lashed, when Pharaoh commanded that, out of my land quickly, when they were about going, God said, one of the blessings of what you did is favor. And so Bible says that, and God gave them favor, graciousness. Graciousness. God gave them favor. God gave them something that will make them to be liked. Something that will make them to be preferred. Something that will make them to be accepted. Something that will make them to be wanted. Something that will make them impossible to be refused. The Bible says that, and whatever they asked from their masters, Bible says that they gave to them and even more. To the point that by the time they left Egypt, Egypt became poor. Egypt was impoverished because of that favor at work on their life. Somebody is going to receive a preferential treatment after this sister. I am not talking to everybody. I am talking to some selected people who believe in what I am saying. I said, because of Christ, our Passover, you are going to receive preferential treatment. You are going to walk in favor. The lines are going to fall for you in pleasant places. Your feet are going to carry you to places of honor and glory. If your amen is loud, you are the one I'm talking about. Shout, I am the favorite of the Lord. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus. And that is why the Bible says in Joshua 24, the verse number 30, that I gave you, or he said, I gave you houses that you did not build. I gave you farms, plantations that you did not have to toil and plant for years. I gave them to you for free. It's a function of favor. When favor is working on your life, you get things without sweat. You get things without laboring for them. You get things without being originally the one who had to work for it. In other words, God can make people build. to hand over to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said, I gave you land you did not work on, and I gave you towns you did not build, and the towns where you are now living, I gave you vineyards, farms, plantations, olive trees for food, though you did not plant them. It is not everything you must labor for. In life, if you labor for everything, you will delay in life, because it will take you 1 year, 2 years, some of you 10 years before you can gather money to build. But if favor begins to operate in your life, what if it have taken you 10 years to achieve? In a matter of a year, you will achieve it. What if it take you 20 years to arrive at? In a matter of 2 years, you will arrive there. I prophesy over 50 people here that the oil of favor is working over you. I said the oil of favor is working over you. Instead of labor, you will be favored. Instead of labor, you will have favor. Instead of trial, you are going to receive a blessing. People are going to hand over properties to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying at all? I said people are going to hand over properties to you. If you are the one I'm talking about, you believe it. People are going to hand over cars to you. People are going to hand over houses to you. People are going to hand over temples to you. People are going to hand over lands to you. People are going to hand over high income to you. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Clap your two hands for them. That is where somebody is laboring and is bringing you the salary to do the work of God. Somebody is laboring and is bringing you the salary as though you sent him to work. It is called favor. And I declare that such as is working on my life, it should work on your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anything much more? Clap your two hands for them. So tonight, I'm just going to, because I want to pray for sick people tonight. I'm trusting God that he will touch somebody who is in pain somewhere, somebody who is trusting God for healing. So I'm going to speak shortly. So let's do number five. Let's do number five today. Sevenfold blessings of Abraham. It is one of the benefits that was made available for us because of the Passover sacrifice of Jesus. The blessings of Abraham, which are in sevenfolds. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. And I want to read with us. I want to read with all of us. One go. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. Say, I receive my portion. The Gentiles are those who are not biological children of Abraham, who are not Jews, who are not part of the nation Israel, who are like you and I am an amindful. We are the Gentiles. Bible says that through Christ Jesus, through the Good Friday, through the Passover work of Jesus, or the sacrifice of Jesus, God has blessed you and I. Gam, Ashanti, Ewe, God has blessed you and I with the same blessing of the Jews. Say, I receive my portion. So that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So one thing is very evident here, that by the finished work of Christ, the Abrahamic blessing is made available for us, even though we are not Jews. So whatever you hear that God is doing in the life of the Jews, God is able to do in your own life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Anything, and you see, when you check the world history and even world records, you will realize that there's something they call the Nobel Prize. Jews have taken more than any nation or any people from any town or any country. The Jews put together have received more awards. It's like excellence awards, like people who have done tremendously, people who have set records in certain fields. When you take the money of the Jews from the American economy, the American economy will start crumbling down. That is why they don't joke with Israel. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. They are wealthy people. The Jews are rich people. They are powerful people. Few in number, but more powerful than all the nations that have surrounded them. The only nation surrounded by its enemies and they can't attack them. Surrounded by enemies and they can't come together to finish them. The day they try coming together to finish them, somewhere some our angels arrive to fight. More than them, yet they cannot be conquered. Because of what we are talking about here. And by revelation, the same grace is at work in our lives if we are believers. So I declare that someone seated here, your enemies cannot finish you. Your amen can be the loudest if you believe it. No matter where you are surrounded by your enemies, in your workplace, in your home, in your family, they cannot finish you. You will rise higher than your enemies. You will be more powerful than your enemies. If you are the one, your amen will show it.
I don't know what I'm saying.
Because of that thing the Bible calls the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. And so let me just quickly go through it shortly with us. And by revelation, we see it revealed through Christ Jesus in Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. Everybody read with me. Say with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive. Now he's going to list these blessings that Jesus already had in heaven, but for our sake he came to die to receive them and pass it over to us. Are you getting what I'm saying? Or are you getting what I'm saying? And these are the seven blessings that were manifested in the life of Abraham, and that is our portion. Say, that is my portion. So worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who was killed, and in his killing he received something for us. In his death he received something for us. It's like your father is dead, but his death has benefited you something. Are you getting what I'm saying? It has received something for you. As long as it's alive, you will not receive that thing. It's not yours. But after he dies, it makes that thing available to you. It's bequeathed to you. It's passed on to you. The Bible says that worthy is the Lamb that has been sacrificed, the Passover Lamb, so that he will receive for us power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Clap your two hands. Say, I receive my portion. Tonight, may you never miss any of this blessing. May you never leave this place without any of this dimension. Because they were all at work in the life of Abraham, and it's supposed to be at work in our lives because of Passover. Number one is power. Everybody say power. And power means ability, dynamis, ability for an activity, an ability to carry out an assignment, an ability to do something. That is power. Are you getting me? From that scripture, Revelation 5 verse 12, he died to receive power for us. Lift up your brother and say, Christ received power for me. The Bible tells us that even when we were without strength, Romans 5 verse 6, Christ came to die for us. So it was because we didn't have power. That is why he came to die, so that we can receive power. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And for whatever you will amount, for whatever you will become, you need power to become it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Say, it's a mystery. Whatever you become in this life, you need a certain power to become it. Let me start from the carnal sense. Having to hear that they said education is power. So if education is power, for you to become a medical doctor, you need a certain educational power to become a medical doctor. True or not true? For you to become an architect, you cannot just get up and say, I am an architect. How many of you will just go and sit in an aeroplane, then you meet the pilot? The pilot says that, oh, I am a pilot by faith. I just came you will get there immediately. In as much as you are a believer, you want to check whether the person has a certain certificate, a certain power. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, I'm being kinda.
That's why they say education is power, because it empowers you to become a nurse. It empowers you to become something. It empowers you to become even a preacher. That's why you go to Bible school. There's a dimension of power it makes available to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, so haven't you realized that people just sleep in coffins and they wake up after 1 week of sleeping in coffin and all of a sudden money is coming? Say power. They didn't transact any business. People wake up at midnight and they engage in sacrifices in their rooms and in covens and in meeting places, and afterwards customers are rushing their shop. Say power. So you can say that they are doing advertisement, and we must do advertisement, and we must do this, and we must do that. But what you don't know is that they are contacting a certain power. That's what you don't know. So even to have customers, even for your business to rise, for your ministry to rise, for your destiny to become as it was arranged in heaven, you need a certain dimension of power. That's what the Bible says, that for you shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives you power to make wealth. That means for you to even have wealth, properties, wealth, money, it comes by power. Either a godly power or an evil power, it is so power. You don't understand what I'm trying to say, but I pray for somebody here. Because of the finished work of Christ, power has been made available to you. I get to speak to somebody who is weak financially, that the power to make wealth is coming on you. Somebody who is weak spiritually, the power to excel in your spiritual life is coming to you. Somebody who is weak academically, the power to excel academically is falling upon you. Receive power where you are seated. Let your amen be a louder one. Why? Because by the finished work of Christ, power is made. He died to receive power. So whatever you need power to accomplish, even to be a believer, you need power to be a believer. Bible says, as many as received him, he gave them power to become sons of God, children of God. That means you cannot just get up and say, I am part of God's family, unless you have contacted a certain dimension of power. I stretch forth my hands in the spirit. Wherever you are weak, wherever you are being molested, wherever the devil is taking advantage of you, wherever your destiny lacks expression and manifestation because of weakness, I command the power of the Lord is coming upon you. For how can this be? It shall be that the spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. If you are the one I'm talking to, your amen shall be louder. Are you getting what I'm saying? Lift up your brother and say, I receive power. Whatever I must become, I receive power to become it. Say, I receive power to become it. Whatever I must become, whatever I must achieve, whatever I must achieve, every assignment on my destiny, I receive power to accomplish it. I will not be weak before my enemies. I will not be weak before my assignment. I receive power to overcome. I receive power to manifest. Clap your two hands and receive that power. John 1:12, Luke 10:19, it says, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Tell somebody about you, what you need is power. The reason why you are afraid of witches is because you lack power. The reason why they can take your dress and use it against you and it works is because you lack power. Because if you have power, when they come, when they take your dress, something should happen to them. When they mention your name, something should happen to them. When they invoke your picture, something should happen to them. Are you hearing what I'm saying at all? I declare from today, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Because of the benefit of the Passover sacrifice, I declare power is coming upon you. Should I prophesy to 100 people here? Power is coming upon you. 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 You will win in your dreams. You will win in the physical. You will win in the boardroom. You will win on the market. You will win in the interview. You will win in the education center. You are winning in business. You should power to overcome.
I receive power to overcome it. And I receive power to win. Number two, riches. 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 The finished work of Christ in Revelations 5 verse 12 says that the Lamb was slain to receive not just power but also to receive riches. Everybody say riches. That is why I've been telling you that prosperity is not an unholy thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are young people, so you must understand it before it is too late. Tell somebody about you, prosperity is not an unholy thing. Tell somebody it is possible to combine prosperity with spirituality. Do you hear what I said? Is it not possible? How did Job do it? Bible says that Job feared the Lord more than any man in his days. And the Bible says that again, he was richer. He was more prosperous than any man in the East. And you know that the rich people are located in the East. Every country, the rich people are located in the... In Ghana, where you are looking for the... Where do you go? East. And Job, the man that feared God, the man that was spiritual, was also on top of his game when it came to business, when it came to wealth, when it came to prosperity. Can I prophesy to 20 people here? In the name of the Lord Jesus, because of the finished work of Christ, you are receiving the ability to combine spirituality with prosperity. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Your prosperity will not corrupt your spirituality. Your prosperity will not corrupt your holiness. Your prosperity will not make you carnal. If you are the one, shout, I am the one.
Listen to me. Then we started from the classroom. I kept telling you, I'm not a pastor of poor people. And every time I say that, I may sound like I'm proud, but I am not proud. I have revelation. I have an understanding. Because the finished work of Christ did not just save us from sin. It also saved us from poverty. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Bible says that the kingdom of God shall spread through prosperity. That means that poverty is one of the weapons the end time enemy will use to stop the spread of the gospel, to stop the spread of the kingdom. Any church that is spiritual but poor will not go far in terms of impact. They will not be able to take the gospel to certain territories. They will not be able to achieve certain things in their own country. They will not be able to impact their society to the extent that they will be untouchable even in their nation. There are certain churches, they can do certain things. If you try to emulate and to copy what they did, your church can be closed down in a twinkle of an eye. You don't understand what I'm saying. Those who understand, understand. I am saying that even for a church, some time ago, I went to a spiritual father's church and I saw it was Adunga time. And the Aduma time, and they were doing church as if nobody's business. And I was like, are we all in Accra? Meanwhile, we cannot even clap our hands. We can't even clap. When you clap, you're in trouble. Your clap will turn into the feet of the lepers. How their feet were amplified. And your sound will get to Gamashi.
from Odoko. The time we were clapping one day like that, time we realized a bus had just stopped in front of our church, and people with weapons were running, climbing up, and our men had to fight and resist. Some ended up in hospital. I'm just talking about just 3 years ago or so thing. Twice it happened, 2 consecutive years. But I went to another church and they were not just clapping, they were playing everything song at the loudest sound that you can imagine, and yet they were safe. And to my shock, the whole place was filled with police patrol, like policemen and women had surrounded the church in their cars. Oh, are you from Gan whatever? Cross and enter and let us see. But we are in the same. Say the power of prosperity. I prophesy over rescue. You are not a church of poor people. If your amen is loud, you are one of the rich ones. You are never a church of poor people. I declare, in the next 5 years, in the next 10 years, great men shall rise from here. Rich men shall rise from here. Prosperous people shall rise from here. Influential people shall rise from here. Parliamentarians shall rise from here. Residents of state shall rise from here. Business tycoons shall rise from here. Shout, I am one of them. Shout, I am one of them.
I have a message I call war against poverty. Winning the war against poverty. Poverty is an end time weapon against the church. That's why they don't care. They are okay when you preach about the blood, when you preach about Jesus, when you preach about fornication. They are okay when you empower people to be spiritual. But the moment you empower the church to become entrepreneur, to become financial moguls and gurus, the world will rise against you. The devil will use voices to accuse the church until you are afraid to even take offering or to even talk about tithe, because they want the church to become poor. The whole secret agenda is that, like they used to have an idiomatic expression, as poor as a church rat. Say tofiakwa. That means that when they see that you are always coming to church, you are a church rat, so you are going to be a poor person. That's what they think. But I declare that the years are coming and the days are coming when you will park your car and serve God, when you will drive into this compound with your family to come and play instruments, when you will drive to come and clean the church, when you will drive to come and sing, when you will drive to come and serve the living God, you will not be a poor Christian, you will be a rich Christian. Shout, I am the one. The Bible says that, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that even though he was poor, through his poverty we are to become what? Rich. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I am the same person that preaches to you about hell and heaven, but today I am telling you that there are two ways to go to heaven. You can either go like poor Lazarus, or you can go like rich Abraham. Even after they died, somebody went to pet somebody. I am not a petter. I am not a beggar. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Lazarus had to go and perch in Abraham's bosom. I prophesy over you. You are going to make it to heaven, but you will not go as poor Lazarus. You will go as rich Abraham. Shout your loudest amen. Shout your loudest amen. Shout your loudest amen. And the choice is yours. You can choose to go like Lazarus or choose to go like Abraham. Isaac and Jacob, they were wealthy people and yet they made it to heaven. That means that I can be wealthy and still make it to heaven. Are you getting what I'm saying? And that is one of the blessings that the cross made available for us. Yesterday I spoke to you about sin and righteousness, isn't it? So if today is when you are coming, I've already preached about sin and righteousness.
today, I'm talking about something else, which is also part of the cross. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Woe unto you if in our dispensation you are going to be holy without money, without prosperity. You are going to Archbishop Bezidauza, he said anointing without money is annoyance. So we are crossing that level. Because you are very anointed. Listen, there are churches that are more anointed than those you see on social media. I'm telling you, there are churches with pastors who are very gifted, but what is limiting them is their money. Because money is an announcer. Money is an amplification weapon, equipment. It amplifies what you have. Now, what we are doing here in Rescue, if we were having a certain dimension of money, that there are things that you are watching on social media and can you cross it, I'm telling you. So I refuse to be a pastor of poor people. God didn't call me to be a pastor of poor people. God called me to change all the poor people to rich people. It's part of my calling. You were not just rescued from sin to righteousness, but rescued from harassment, molestation of Pharaoh, and you were brought to Canaan. And on the land of Canaan, you are supposed to have access to milk and to honey. So I declare, all my sons and daughters, I connect you to an experience of wealth. I connect you to an experience of prosperity. Those of you who are dreaming about bus, buying a bus for the church, buying a land for the church, building a temple, owning properties, sponsoring crusades, I declare the Lord is launching you into prosperity. The Lord is launching you into wealth. Receive the anointing to be a kingdom financier. Receive the anointing to be a kingdom promoter. Have your two hands together. Bible says that money answers all things, so it's also very important. And Jesus delivered us, 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is also grace. Tell someone, this is also part of the grace of God. Once I was a sinner, now I'm saved by grace. Once I was poor, now I am prosperous by grace. This is part of the grace. Are you getting what I'm saying? If your father died a beggar, refuse to die a beggar. Say, I have seen the light. You are not here. Say, I have seen the light. If your mother died a beggar, you will die someone who is lending to many people. Bible says, for thou shalt never be a borrower, but thou shalt be a lender. I declare, lenders are rising from here. Business owners are rising from here. Great men and women. Are you getting what I'm saying? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Now, everybody listen to me. I want you to have a mind change, a shift in your mentality. Okay? Because sometimes, and I am one of them, because we focus on the other subjects, which are also very important, very, very important. Indirectly, it makes it look as if when you also become prosperous, it's wrong. But today, I want to make you understand that it is not wrong. As long as you don't use a bad way, God wants you. Bible says that I wish above all things that you want, you will be in good health, even as your soul prospers. You will be in good health, and you will prosper, even as your soul prospers. So God wants you to be in good health and to prosper. The Bible says that for the sake of us, Christ became poor. So if Christ became poor so that you will not become poor, and you still decide to become poor, what have you done to the work Christ did?
you have made the work Christ did now and void in that regard. Are you getting what I'm saying? Nipa no echiaka we chia ohia huka eno se se de be ya wo be di denti ma ba se mi be di hia onu di hia na wie wo so wo se wo be se wo di hia esa se Jesus Christ we nkika esa se Jesus Christ onam dade. That's what you hear on social media. They tell you that Jesus Christ didn't ride in Land Cruiser, and Jesus Christ didn't ride in limousine, and Jesus Christ was walking barefooted. The next time they tell you that as a Christian you must not enjoy because Jesus didn't enjoy, you must remind them that because of me he became poor so that I will have the opposite of poverty, which is prosperity. He didn't ride in Land Cruiser so that praise will ride in Land Cruiser. He didn't have a house. Foxes have their house and animals have their house, but the Son of Man doesn't have where to lay his head. But me, Prince Lion, I have where to lay my head, because for my sake he didn't lay down his head. You get what I'm saying? I'll have house, I'll build houses, because Jesus couldn't build houses. He took my place so that I will take his place. So I will not make his blood useless. I will not make his blood vain. Never. I will make good use of his blood. I will work hard. I will pay my tithes. I will labor and I will trust the Lord that I will be numbered among the spiritual and prosperous people. You didn't get what I said. That you through his poverty might become yes. Through his poverty you will become yes. Point your hand on your own chest and say, he became poor so that through his poverty I will become rich. Say, from today, whatever Jesus didn't enjoy, I will enjoy it. Whatever Jesus didn't have, I will have it. Whatever Jesus didn't get, I will control it. Say, I take his place of prosperity, of abundance, of riches, as he has taken my place of poverty. Say, the case is settled. Clap your two hands for the Lord. That's what the Bible said concerning Abraham. Genesis 26, 16, verse 1. It said concerning Isaac, rather, that Isaac sowed in the land, verse 13, and Isaac became prosperous and continued to prosper. And it said about Abraham, when they described Abraham, they said, for my master, the Lord has blessed my master Abraham with silver, with gold, with abundance, with maid servant. This was the description the servant of Abraham gave to the family of Rebekah, that the Lord has blessed my master Abraham. Now that's what Jesus died for us to also receive. Before you die and go, you'll be described as a blessed man. Number three, wisdom. Wisdom. And what do I mean by wisdom? The ability to solve problems. The ability to solve problems. Listen to me. In this life, people are looking for problem solvers. Companies are looking for problem solvers. Even money goes to the hands of those who are solving a problem. You solve a need, and then we reward you with a remuneration, with a salary or a wages. You do a service, or you perform a service, or you do a certain tax, and then money goes in exchange for it. Now, wisdom is the ability to solve problems, not just have knowledge, but translating the knowledge to solve human problem. That's what we call wisdom. Jesus says that it is action word, hearing and doing the words that you are hearing. I will compare you to a wise man. Are you getting what I'm saying? And when Jesus died on the cross, one of the things that he received for us in Revelation 5 verse 12 is wisdom. That we will not be a bunch of spiritual but foolish people. Are you getting what I'm saying? We must be a group of wise people. People who are wise. People who are solving problems. in our industries, who are solving problems in our communities, who are solving problems in our homes, who are solving problems.
Why wouldn't they promote the unbeliever and leave the believer? Because the unbeliever is bringing ideas, is solving problems, and the believer is failing to bring ideas and solve problems. Put your right hand on your head. Say, I receive the wisdom of God. Say, I receive the wisdom of God.
Listen to me. Jesus just didn't bring us power, he also brought us wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 24. It says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Jesus has two dimensions over here. The power dimension and the wisdom dimension. Woe unto you if you only have power and you don't have wisdom. There are certain places you will fail. There are battles we win with power, but there are other battles we win with wisdom. If you don't know what to do, you will stand behind the door for 24 hours. Someone will come and just knows what to do and just click certain buttons, and the same door that stopped you for 20 years, that door will open for the person. I stretch forth my hands over you that wisdom is imparted to your spirit. From today, you will know what to do to expand your business. You will know what to do to expand your business. You will know what to do to expand your ministry. You will know what to do for your marriage to excel. You will know what to do to be married. Receive the wisdom of the Lord.
Tell somebody, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. It's not just the power of God, it's also the wisdom of God. Amen. There are battles that as a church we fought. Some of the battles are to win them in prayer. Some of the battles are to win them with money. Some of the battles are to win them with wisdom. Different battles. There was a man that we were struggling with after we defeated him spiritually. Now we were heading to court, and court would have delayed our access to the property. And so the lawyer gave us wisdom. As a pastor, we waste time at our court, especially the one you are dealing with. He has been an influential man before, so he knows these big lawyers and these things. We waste time at court. Pastor, let's use a different way, mediation. I said, okay, let's allow wisdom. Then we allowed wisdom. Then we engaged the people. Then when we applied that wisdom, the people came to an agreement with us. I had to now produce a certain amount of money. I released that amount of money, and bam, what it has taken 15 years to achieve, I achieved it in 3 months because I applied power, wisdom, and money. And the person packed out. Tell somebody, is that everything that we use power? Force. Some of the things you have to apply wisdom. Some of the things you have to apply wisdom. It's not everything that we will. Some of the things is money that will open the door. Are you getting what I'm saying? Clap your two hands for the Lord. May God endow us with wisdom. May that dimension of Christ be awakened in our spirit. Can I hear your loudest amen? Oh, can I hear your loudest amen? Proverbs 4 verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. In all you're getting, get understanding. Number 4, strength. 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 That is good health. That is vitality. That is good health. Physical strength. 3 John 1, 2. It says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health. In Revelation 5:12 says that to receive strength for us. You are not supposed to be spiritual and in a weak body. A spiritual person in a weak body. In a sick body. I was so sad. I think this week, one great general of God just passed away. One great general. The Lord has given him an assignment for marriage. Marriages. And myself and my wife, we are part of his mentorship group. We travel with them. They teach us on marriage and other things. And sadly, he passed away. And why did such a great gift pass away? Because he became sick. Because he became sick. This body is the only legitimate permit that you have to be on this earth to carry out your assignment.
The day this body fails you, you will go with all your anointing. You will go with all your grace. You will go with all your dreams and your vision. You need good health. You need strength. You need vitality. I've been sick before and locked up in my room for days. And I realized that without good health, all my vision is useless. I'm telling you, without good health, all the visions I'm seeing on my bed is useless. Without good health, I cannot carry it. Money is useless. You can have the money in the world, but without good health. But I pray for you that one of the things Jesus died for you to have is good health. I pray that may you have good health. Every trace of cancer is flushed out of your life. Every trace of arthritis is flushed out of your life. Every trace of sickness is flushed out of your life. Every trace of infirmity is flushed out of your life. The sickness that kills people in your family, you will be victorious over them. The diseases that stop people in your father's house, you rise and bind them. You will be victorious over them. Shout, I receive strength.
Fulfill my assignment. Clap your two hands for the Lord. May you be strong. Announce to three people, may you be strong. May I still see you strong. May you not be bedridden. The next 1 year till we meet again, may you never be bedridden. May we never call you and say that, oh, me, are you Makadem? Say, Tofiakwa. That was a very, very painful experience, I'm telling you. When you have plans and yet you can't carry them out. Yes, you can't carry them out. The Bible says that because of the finished work of Christ, let the weak say, I am strong. Joel 3 verse 10. 1 Peter 2 24. By whose stripes you were healed. By whose stripes you were healed. Deuteronomy 7 15. He said, I will take away the affliction which I brought on Egypt. I will take it away from you. And I will not put any of the sicknesses that I put on Egypt. So you are supposed to be in good health. Number 5. Honor. That is respect. Because of my time, so I'm just rushing through. Honor, that is respect. Jesus Christ was disrespected so that I'll be respected. He was dishonored so that I'll be honored. Isaiah 53 verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. So Jesus was despised. Jesus was disrespected. Why? So that I will receive honor. That's why Revelation 5 verse 12 says that to receive honor. Everybody say respect. Oh, say respect. Wherever people look down on you, those days are over from tonight. By the Passover sacrifice, I command every disrespect changing to respect. People will begin to accord you the necessary respect. The necessary respect that you deserve. Wherever the devil has turned you down, your face down, and you cannot lift up your face, God is going to deliver you from it. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54 verse 4. He said, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. Tell somebody, you will not be disgraced. Number 5. Glory. A beautiful life. Glory means a beautiful life. Glory means beauty. The beauty of the Lord. A beautiful life. It says to receive honor and glory. To receive honor and glory. So Jesus died so that we'll receive a glorious life. Not a shameful life. Anything in your life that brings you shame, it is illegal. It must not stay in your life. Some of you, as old as you are, you still weary on bed. Don't say, hey. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. There are people who are in their 30s, but also for it can be a disgraceful medical condition. And you see a married woman who wearies, and you see a married man who wearies. And you say, hey, but it's a reality. But I pray for anybody here, the devil has planted an object of shame in your life, that may that object be taken away. Maybe yours is not a weary situation or a sickness situation, but yours may be a certain situation of poverty, or a situation like something that makes your family. You are the firstborn, but they look down on you. They respect your younger brother more than you. Because there is something of shame. Unemployment has brought shame to you. When you go for a family meeting, you can't even give anything to your mother. And your younger brother comes and then gives to your mother and the other family members. Who do you think they will honor? every shame in your life, you trade it for glory. I said, every shame in your life, you trade it for glory. Isaiah 1 verse 3. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes, that is glory. Anybody who has bowed down your head, I declare you are lifting up your head. For God is the lifting up of our heads. You are lifting up your head in Jesus' name. Wherever they used to laugh at you, that as for you, you can't get a husband. As for you, you are not married. In that same place, the Lord will glorify you. I said, the Lord will glorify you. One of these days, you wake up and you'll be in your suit and your tie, and you are driving to your office. You will no longer be unemployed. You will no longer lead a hopeless life. Clap your two hands and say, I receive glory. And then finally is blessing, the force to succeed, the force to succeed. Listen, Jacob and Esau, they got two different things. Jacob got a blessing, which is an empowerment to succeed, and Esau got the properties of the father. In the long run, Jacob became greater than Esau, because it is not the material things that makes a man successful. It is the blessings of the Lord that make it rich and has no sorrow. Blessings can bring you material things, but material things cannot bring blessing. Are you getting what I'm saying? And Christians must begin to desire blessings than material things. We have got into the generation where when somebody does something for you or suffering, you say, God bless you, they don't like it. True or not true? They will say, God bless you, Nyebedi. Even children in our generation, when you send them on errand and you refuse to give them the coins and you say, Nyamin Shlao, the next time you call them, they will not come. God, Papa will be on child here. Papa will always smile on child here. No, some of you are here. You are here. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. You prefer the coins than Nyamin Shlao. How many of you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying. Papa. The reason is because you are an Esau. Esau doesn't have respect for spiritual things, for blessing. But Jacob, as young as he was, had eye for the blessing. But there are people who are going to leave this convention with a desire for God bless you, with a desire for the blessings of God. That all that I want from my father is not his prosperity, it's not his coat, it's not his car, but I want my father to say, God bless you. All that I want from my mother is not to take me to school, but for my mother to say, God bless you. A desire for the blessing is a highway to becoming significant in life. It's a highway. Jacob rode on that highway and became significant. And Esau got all the properties of the father after he died, and yet became nobody years after, many, many years after. Because material things will fail after some years, but a blessing doesn't fail. And a blessing is an empowerment. Tonight, as your father in the Lord, I release a blessing over your life. May the sacrifice of Jesus purchase for you a blessing that no curse can cancel. The curse of your family cannot cancel the blessings of the Lord. The curse of your father's house cannot stop the blessings of Christ. The curse of your mother's house cannot stop the blessings of Christ. I declare over 100 people here, you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. And from today you succeed. From today you excel. From today, whatever you touch, you will increase. Whatever you do, will multiply. Wherever you go, you'll be relevant. You'll be significant. Drop your two words and say, I am the one.
Galatians 3, verse 13 and 14. And Ephesians 1, verse 3. Keep standing and let us pray. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Genesis 24, verse 35. God blessed my master greatly. I'm going to pray with you. Lift up your two hands.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.